Hi, I'm Sean Owen. I'm here at the AMI meeting 2009 in Malaga in Spain. I'm here with Dr. James B. McGee from Pittsburgh in the USA, and we're here to talk about the VPSIM virtual patient. Now, James, you've been involved in developing this virtual patient, so can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure, Sean, and thank you very much. And please call me JB. That's what everybody calls me. The VPSIM is our attempt at coming up with what we think is the ultimate virtual patient authoring and playback system. And while that sounds a little grand, we did spend a long time analyzing what the authors need. And they were our primary customer in this design. And we spent a year interviewing faculty that are involved in case writing. We interviewed and had focus groups with faculty who have never written virtual patient cases or are not terribly familiar with case-based learning to find out what their needs are. And this comes from a perception of 15 years of working with virtual patients, and that one of the barriers to adoption has been the faculty perceiving that this is something that they're able to easily do and easily get started making their own virtual patients. And it's not until we have the majority of faculty out there that teach making their own cases will we've really achieved widespread adoption of the virtual patient method of teaching.
And so far, have you found that the educators and the students have found this virtual patient system beneficial?
Well, it's relatively new, so we have a limited amount of experience with them using it, and the final version won't be out until November. Mm-hmm. November 1 will have version 1.0 done, so it's in a bit of flux and evolution. But what we have done is use what's called agile programming and project management techniques so that at every step of the design and development process, we bring in faculty and students to test what we've done so far and give us feedback. Are we heading in the right direction? And help us help guide the design of this. So what I think they'll see at, when version 1.0 emerges is something very close to what they wanted. Now, it does introduce the question of, is what they wanted what they really need? And we know that will be refinements and some changes. Now, we do have some experience with our local faculty using it in their courses, and one of the early comments was that it took much less time to develop a virtual patient using this system than previous methods. For example, our pharmacology faculty used to spend between 40 to 60 hours creating one case, starting with their content and their basic materials. They were able to create a case in 10 hours using VPSIM. We also have allowed beta testers and let out some demo accounts, and we've got about 114 cases now on the website that users in 7 different countries and 110 different beta users have tried. So people are making cases with it. As we roll out this first version, we're going to collect some more data on how easy they find it to use and use that to feedback on the development.
And just to move on, virtual patients can come in all different shapes and sizes. I mean, this VPSIM is one of many virtual patient players and authoring systems. Do you think that virtual patients in general have a role in the future of medical education?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be working on authoring systems and the faculty development and time and effort it takes to convince your colleagues that this is a viable and valuable methodology. So, of course, there is a future. I think I've been watching the interest in virtual patients grow quite rapidly over just the last few years. I think the EVIP consortium has a lot to do with that. Also, that technology in general has become easier to use and more accessible and is a more commonplace thing to do. So 5 years ago, even, faculty would rarely have interacted with a website that had anything to do with the curriculum, and now it's a fairly common activity for them to engage their own Blackboard websites or Moodle and to use various web resources for their own teaching purposes. But I think we still have a long way to go to get the majority of faculty on board and to get this to be kind of accepted in everyday tool to use for teaching purposes.
But it's all very exciting, and obviously there's more research needed in the future, but we're on the road to virtual patients becoming more commonplace.
Oh, I think so. I think using Jeffrey Moore's technology adoption curve, I think we are either on the precipice of crossing the chasm to widespread adoption, or perhaps we've actually crossed that chasm. If you notice Dave Davies' data from the EVIP survey, 50% of schools are already using virtual patients, and that's up quite a bit from the previous surveys done by Grace Wong through the AAMC of North American schools. So I think we're well on our way, and now it's more of a matter of, you know, which tools are the best ones to use for what purposes. And you asked about different types of virtual patients, and I think one of the things that educators will come to appreciate is that there are different flavors of virtual patients. And there's you commonly see what's referred to as linear narrative type cases, where it's a story with little tasks along the way and questions and options, but everyone starts in the same place and ends up in the same place. And our new version, it's a branching narrative style virtual patient, where it's still a story. Things happen to the patient along the story, but as the learner makes decisions, things like what drug to use, what diagnostic test to take advantage of, different things will happen to the patient. So there are multiple paths, more game-like, and more of a challenge. And there's some innate learning benefit from a student realizing that his or her decisions actually affected the outcome of his or her patient, whether it be a real one or, in this case, a virtual patient on the screen.
Well, thank you for talking to us, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Oh, I've enjoyed it very much so far, and thank you for taking the time to listen.
No problem.